Welcome back, Shame Slayers and Shadow Sparklers. I am taking a break from my writing den and crawling out of my hole over here in my desk, if you're watching on YouTube, just behind me, to record this podcast because it is nice for me to use my brains in different ways. I have been so deeply immersed in finishing my book and editing. All of the chapters are done, which is very exciting. And so now I'm going through, I'm editing, I'm doing continuity checks, I'm rearranging things. I'm just having a lot of fun with this whole process. And it is really nice to take a small break, to come over here and talk to you all, and to use my brains and to get out of just the cacophony of thoughts and reading and ideas and back and forth in my head. And come give you some love on the podcast and give myself some love. So thank you for joining me this week. I am Morgan Garza. This is the Love, Light, and Black Holes podcast. And I literally laughed out loud when I thought about this week's episode because it's something I've been wanting to do for a little while. It's something that's been circling in my brain, as most of my episodes are. And then finally, it just feels like the right time to pull the trigger. And this was the right time because Party Girl to Peptide Queen has been my glow up, my evolution, my journey for the past, oh gosh, since 2022. So this is 2026, for the past like 5 years. And I am fully immersed in being sober from alcohol. Not totally sober, not just over here raw dogging life, though there was a time that that was happening. And I realized that that was just too difficult to manage. So I am sober from alcohol. I'm not sober from other fun things that I will tell you about, but I am getting so into my health. I'm seeing such incredible results. I'm definitely doing peptides, and I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you just share my journey, share what I'm taking and what I've seen change in my own body and health. But overall, I think it's a hilarious journey because when I started this really health conscious journey, it was because I was dragged to the depths of hell by my health. I had multiple trips to the ER, I had transfusions, and then I ended 2022 with open myomectomy, an open hip-to-hip surgery, basically, to take giant fibroids out of my body that were sucking the life out of me and making me incredibly anemic and losing massive amounts of blood and really having a cascade effect of inflammation and all the other things. And so I had to stop drinking because it wasn't the culprit, but it wasn't helping. That's for damn sure. So I was like, I've got to stop. And at first I felt like I had phantom limb syndrome. It was weird. And 2022 was a very inconvenient time for me to choose to stop drinking because I had two of my best friends' bachelorette parties, two of my best friends' weddings, and one of which I was officiating. And I did have a little bit of tequila at that wedding, actually, but not much. I don't even remember the last time that I was like drunk, which is kind of wild because this used to be like a double night thing for me every week. The amount of times that I have drank in the past 5 years, I used to drink in a month, and now I haven't drank for the past 5 months. And this is a wild adventure for me, one that I never thought that I would be doing, especially making an entire podcast episode about it. But the further I get into this, the further I just want to share, like, we all go through different phases. We all go through different versions of ourselves. And there is one version of myself that was round of Patron shots, last call at the bar for everyone who was around me, everyone who I was with. Nobody wanted them. Nobody needed them. Nobody asked for them, but everyone was getting them. And I was doling them out as if I was trick-or-treating. And I just laugh at that girl because I had so much fucking fun. I mean, I was definitely immersed in the party girl life of the party, dancing on tables, doing really silly shit, and having a blast. And now that I am 40, not that that has anything to do with me not drinking, but I just have a different perspective on things. I have a different idea of how things are and things go. And now I'm in bed by 9 p.m. researching peptide protocols, talking to my husband about all of these health things that we're on. We're texting back and forth while working about what supplements to buy. I mean, we're doing keto right now. We've been doing keto for 2 full months. So it's just a really interesting shift. And I have thoughts about both of them, and they're no one, neither is right. I don't regret the days that I was a party girl and had a lot of fun, but I am also gaining so much from this version of my life. But I can't deny that there is a little bit of grief going on for who I was, for what I did, for all of the fun that I used to have. And it was plenty of time. Like, it was a couple decades of being that girl. So I don't necessarily have FOMO, but I wanted to bring this conversation out into the open because being sober curious is massive right now. It's every major beer brand has a non-alcoholic version. There are so many adaptogenic drinks that you can have in lieu of alcohol. Just regular seltzers are having an explosion, like Spindrift, those kinds of things. So what we're seeing is a shift in the desire, in the expectation of people for themselves. And I think it's a really interesting thing to look at, because even just 3 years ago, you couldn't find non-alcoholic options very easily. It was really difficult. And most people were still very interested in alcohol, very interested in drinking. I'm a millennial, pretty tried and true for the dates that a millennial is. And I was brought up binge drinking in high school, didn't stop in college, didn't stop after college until my body broke down. And I think it's a really important conversation to have, because what I was doing was habitual. And because I started doing it so young, it was something that I just thought that that's what you did. You just binge drink. You always like, hey, let's meet for a drink. Let's go for a drink. Let's get happy hour. Like, come over to my house for a drink and then we'll go do this thing. Let's go to dinner and then we'll have some drinks and then we'll go out. Like, it was just, my life was centered around alcohol and I had no clue. I really didn't see it until that summer of 2022 when I was sitting in the ER on my birthday and just having a reckoning with myself, like, this is not good for me and I need to stop. And I just stopped. I mean, I didn't even think about it twice because the state that I was in was so in such dire need of change. Honestly, like, I thought not drinking alcohol was going to change my life and I was going to have such better sleep and glowing skin and all these beautiful things were going to happen. And like, none of that happened. I mean, I don't think that I drank nearly enough to have like that kind of transformation. I actually gained weight when I stopped drinking. My sleep didn't change. And then I just felt awkward everywhere for a while. So it wasn't the glow up that I was hoping for, but I'm in the glow up now by choosing so many different things outside of just not drinking alcohol that has contributed to this. But there is a grief in a sense when I look back on the girl that I was and the woman that I am now and how much I allowed alcohol to make me think that I could be a certain person only when I drank. And now I'm realizing, after especially that summer of 2022 that totally transformed and liberated me from the grips of alcohol, that I realized I can go to 2 bachelorette parties and have a blast. I can go to 2 weddings and still have a blast. I'm having as much fun. I'm having the same conversations. I'm still being silly. I'm still being myself. I'm still allowing myself to break it down on the dance floor and have long conversations about who knows what. You know, I just didn't wake up feeling like shit the next day after eating 12 pounds of Taco Bell at 2 a.m., you know? So it's definitely an interesting shift in the identity that came with being the party girl, the fun one, the spontaneous one, the one who just always wanted to go everywhere, who said yes to absolutely everything, got into some trouble here and there. It made me think that alcohol was the only way that I could access her, that was the only time that I could truly let my hair down. Of course, alcohol takes the edge off. That's why everyone drinks it. You have a drink at the end of the day. You have a drink on a Friday. You have drinks all the time, and it helps you relax in a sense, but it also gave me a lot of anxiety I didn't realize that I had until I stopped drinking it. And I would get really drunk in situations that I didn't want to be in or that I was uncomfortable in because I didn't want to be there, because I was uncomfortable. So rather than just leaving or not even putting myself in that situation anyways, I would get blackout drunk and be like, oh, well, this is just how I get through that. But in all of my years of drinking, as much fun as I had, I I realized that there was something going on underneath, and there was a shadow work piece that I've been able to do now that I'm out of it, that the drinking, the staying out, the constant motion, the doing anything with anybody, the tons of acquaintances and party friends, it was masking a lot of things. It was a socially acceptable numbing strategy that took me out of my power, of my free will in many ways. It was a coping mechanism, and I didn't really see it until I came out of it. And this whole episode is not to be like, you need to stop drinking. It's just, I'm just telling you what I've been through, and I think it's a really interesting place for me to look back on and to have this perspective and to share this, because I am who I am, and I want to put myself out there in ways that I think will benefit other people. And this has been incredibly beneficial for me to look back on, because the fibroids, the health decline, the chronic anemia, the surgery, the way that my body was screaming at me for years that I would just mask with another shot of tequila was keeping me away from so much power. And while I thought that I had a lot of power and I was more powerful when I was drinking because I could access different parts of myself, I have found ways to access those different parts without alcohol. And like I mentioned before, I'm not sober. I mean, I'm sober from alcohol, but I am, I don't even know what you would call it. Like, California sober is when you just smoke weed, but I am doing psychedelics, microdosing, and I love it. The summer that I stopped drinking alcohol, 2022, I called it the summer of acid because I was microdosing acid. So yes, I went to these bachelorette parties and weddings without drinking, but I was on just a tiny little bit of acid, which elevated me and gave me this different perspective. But it also helped me see how much of a crutch alcohol was, and especially being in binge drinking scenarios, environments like bachelorette parties, especially where the whole trip is organized around drinking. It just helped me see that I don't need that. And at one point, it was really funny. I was in Austin for one of my girlfriend's bachelorette parties, and everyone was doing a beer bong. And I happened to be on my period, and it was the worst period I've ever had. I definitely should have been in the ER. And so I went to a local apothecary, got a bunch of tea, and I was just drinking tea the whole weekend to try and staunch the bleeding. And I was having fun with it. And one of the girls was like, put your tea in the beer bong. And then I drank my tea out of the beer bong, and I thought it was hilarious, and I was still having so much fun. And it's just, it's really interesting to look back and how I've been able to liberate myself from alcohol specifically, from thinking that that's the only way that I can have fun. And yes, of course, microdosing psychedelics is fun in a sense, but I'm not doing it necessarily as recreationally as I was with alcohol. I'm seeing it more as a ceremony, as a way to get into myself and my trauma, especially after everything that's happened recently with my quantum crumble and my losing my dad and just like my entire life burning down over the course of 3 years and losing three other family members. And it's helped me process trauma. It's helped me process grief. It's helped me get these feelings out of my body, whereas alcohol would mask all of that, shove it down so that it crystallized and became this really hard ball within me and didn't resolve anything. And I'm not saying that psychedelics are individually resolving things. I'm doing a lot of work on my own. I was in therapy for years as well. But it's just, again, an interesting perspective to look back on, because there was, in a sense, an identity hangover, and the version of me that was the party girl that had to stop because of my health. It's not like I woke up one day and was like, you know what? I'm just good. Like, I'm done with this. I'm aged out of it. I've done plenty. I have no FOMO anymore. Like, I'm gravy, baby. It was like, I'm dying. There is blood rushing out of my body and everything else is following suit. If I don't stop drinking, it's going to compound everything. And when I did stop drinking, nothing really got better. Honestly, I thought that maybe that would happen too, but things just kind of kept getting worse. I think because I was already so far gone and it wasn't alcohol's fault that I was where I was. There was a lot of other things going on, but there was an identity hangover in terms of who I thought I was, who I was trying to figure out to be, and what to do with my hands, especially. Like, you go places, everyone has a drink in their hands. If they ask you what you want to drink and you say, I'm not drinking, there's this like, oh, what? Weird. Why? Are you okay? What's going on? Do you have a problem? Are you sick? Like, what's happening? Like, you are met with such confusion when you say you're not drinking. And of course, in 2026, this is different. But back then, even just 4 or 5 years ago, it was taboo to not be drinking. I stopped drinking 2 years before my husband went to rehab. And so I was already on my sober curious journey, detaching from the identity of the person that had to drink. But the social identity shift is real because my friends were still out there living the version of life that I used to be living, and I felt like a really boring person. I'm watching documentaries at 8:45 on a Saturday instead of hitting the bars. And so it was like a, well, if we're not drinking, I mean, especially with my husband sober now over 2 years, I'm like, well, if we're not drinking, then what do we do? Where do we go? How do we have fun? How do we meet people? How do we meet up with people and not just drink water? And so the social identity shift was a very interesting thing to grapple with, because when your entire social life is built around being the fun one, the wild one, the party girl, the one who always knows about the hottest place to be and can get us in, it's really shocking and jarring to come out of that when I'm leaving at 10 p.m. because I'm literally yawning. I'm passing on tequila when everyone's doing shots. And I had to rebuild my entire social identity from scratch and who I was when I showed up at parties and didn't want to stop being with people and going out. And I don't have any problem being at a bar. It's not like I'm like, I can't be around alcohol. It's just like I'm seeing it so differently. I have such a different relationship with it that, like, I have no desire to go sit at a bar and knock them back. You know, like, what are we even doing this for? Also, the money piece was very real, but the weird in between, like, not the party girl anymore, not yet the fully integrated, healed version of myself where I know exactly who I am, exactly what I'm doing, exactly why I'm not doing certain things. The woman going to bed at 9 p.m. when I didn't used to go to bed until midnight or 2 a.m. was a point of grief. And I didn't realize what that meant for me in terms of my identity. And the hardest part of getting healthy wasn't the protocols or the early bedtimes. It was figuring out who I was when I wasn't pretending that I was having fun anymore. And I think letting go of alcohol was a big way for me to come into my sovereignty, to come into my authenticity, to come into who am I without that? And this has been a very central question in many aspects of my life the past few years, especially during 2025, when it was the first year after my dad's death. Who am I without that? Who am I without my dad? Who am I after his death? Who am I without all of these things that I used to do and be and have my identity attached to? And this was the beginning of that question that would come to shape the next 3 years of my life from 2022 to 2025, especially. But now that I'm here, now that I'm grounded in this, now that I really don't give a fuck if I go out or stay in. I mean, I still want to be social. I'm still definitely a social butterfly. I'm going to networking events and having brunches and lunches with girlfriends. I'm going to concerts instead of just going to sit at a bar. And it's so much different, and it's so much better in so many ways. And there's so much more on the other side now that I'm in my peptide queen era. It's genuinely wild because I let go of so much and I pivoted from numbing to optimizing. And this is really like one of the most underrated character arcs of the healing journey, because to go from doing shots to doing research and then doing shots in my stomach where I'm like injecting myself with needles and peptides, it is the shock of my life. If you had told me in 2019 that I would be doing this, I would have rolled my eyes so hard at you. Ruby Warrington's book, Sober Curious, she used to run the Numinous, which was an astrology platform. And she and I came up in the same era with our first companies, both in the spiritual industry. And so we were always circling around each other, always supporting each other. And she came out with Sober Curious, and I rolled my eyes so hard. I was like, yeah, fucking right. No one is going to buy this book. No one is sober curious. No one cares about this. Like, how ridiculous, and it was published at the very end of 2018, and the world wasn't ready for this. Now they are, of course. Everyone is sober curious, and there's so much curiosity around sobriety and what it can do and the health benefits and all of these things. But when that first came out, I was like, eye roll. Yeah, right. There is no way anyone's going to want to do this. I am absolutely not sober curious. Like, I thought it was so cool to be not sober curious at that time in 2018, 2019. And I actively felt bad for her for publishing this book. I was like, how embarrassing. And like, tables turned, I guess. What? I am the embarrassing one. I am embarrassed by my reaction to that. Not that it was like public or anything, just like my internal conversation. And then I would see her and be like, how's the book going? Like, I'm so proud of you. I went to one of her events in Denver and we talked for a while, and it was a sober event, which was very interesting. There was non-alcoholic beer there. And I was like, what a bore. And now I'm like, can you please have multiple options? Because not only do I not want non-alcoholic beer, but I like am a bougie sobriety queen. Now I'm like, I need my adaptogens. I need something to do something for me. If it has L-theanine, like that's even better. Get a little lion's mane in there. And I'm just laughing at myself and how utterly ridiculous I was, but also giving myself so much love for the journey that I've been on, because I have grown in ways that I would have never expected. And so I don't even like using the biohacking term. I'm on this journey of optimizing my biology, my health, my physiology, all of the aspects of me in the physical inside of the containment of this meat suit. And I don't think I'm hacking anything. I'm using what's readily available. So I hate the term biohacking, and sorry to polarize that, but it's just not something that has ever resonated with me. Feels very bro, very masculine. Like, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to hack this shit, I'm going to figure it out. I'm just like using what's readily available, listening to my body and helping my health optimize. And so this optimization journey that I have been on has helped me in radical ways. I have been to every doctor, every specialist, had millions of tests done, had open surgery, spent thousands and thousands of dollars on doctors and supplements and said tests, and no one could figure out what was going on with me. And here we are, 2.5 months, maybe a little bit more, into peptides, and 90% of my symptoms are gone. And I could have never imagined that this was possible, because there is one symptom in particular that I've been dealing with for 8 years, every period cycle, that would impact my life in great ways. And I don't want to go into too deep detail because it's TMI and it's pretty gross. But gross things happen to bodies, y'all. And when gross things happen to bodies, that is like a warning sign. It is a cry for help. And this happened to me every single cycle. So every month for 8 years, I have been on multiple courses of antibiotics. I have had all of the tests done. And every time I would tell a doctor about it, they would just be like, that's interesting. Well, and I'm just like, no, like, this is fucking ruining my life. And you have no idea, like, how much this keeps me awake at night. And just the stress of it happening at all was entirely stressful. And now 2 months on peptides and it's gone. And so I have come to the point where I'm realizing that the more that I am aware of, the more that I want to share with you. And I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm just going to let you know that peptides are the shit. And if you are interested in taking them, definitely look into them. I'm getting mine through a doctor, so absolutely go that route, so that they're coming from a compounding pharmacy and not this research grade peptide that you see all over the place. But allowing yourself to really do the research, to really look at your symptoms, to talk to your doctor about it and see what they recommend and have a conversation. And there's plenty of research out there. There's so many podcasts, there's so many articles, there's so many papers of studies that have been done that are proving that these work really well. I had like chronic levels of inflammation on all of my biomarkers, on my GI labs, on my blood tests, everywhere. I could like literally see myself being super inflamed. And then these infections, I had C. diff, I had H. pylori, I had tons of strains of E. coli, I had all kinds of things going on in my gut. And I had this persistent infection after I bled. And so all of that is cleared, which blows my mind still. But we're seeing so much going on in peptides, and it really is a wild west. It's so unregulated. There's so many things going on with the FDA right now. There's a big shift happening between what's legal, what's not, and then there's a back and forth on that. So if you are interested in peptides, do your own research, talk to your doctor, don't get research grade. That is all I'm going to tell you about that. And I'm not going to tell you anything other than what I'm doing. I'm never going to recommend things to you because I'm not a fucking doctor. And I'm not trying to be a wellness influencer. I'm not trying to influence you towards anything except loving yourself and doing your fucking shadow work. But I think it's really interesting perspective to share. And I have been going through so much lately, and I have seen such a change in my health. Not just from not drinking alcohol, like that really didn't move the needle for me at all in terms of improving my health. I know it does for a lot of people. Obviously, it's a really big thing. But for me, it wasn't the issue. It was a contributing factor, I'm sure, especially to inflammation. But overall, like the thing that has helped me the most is doing shadow work. And of course, getting the help that my body couldn't get on its own through peptides. And every identity we leave behind has something to teach us about what we needed at the time. And I think it's really interesting to look back and see that with love, because the party girl wasn't a mistake. She was a version of me who knew how to find joy and connection and aliveness with the tools that I had, with what I was literally taught to do since high school, from being in friend groups and just having everyone binge drink, and then college and doing the exact same thing. And then after college, we'd meet for happy hour after work. And then we just kept living the same lives. And I don't think who I am now is superior. I don't think I'm better than she was. I'm more wise. I'm more knowledgeable. I seek thrills in different ways. And I understand how much I was trying to mask with alcohol. And the shadow, I guess, of this wellness era is real. And it's really worth naming, because the same obsessive energy that went into partying and getting dressed and putting all this makeup on and buying alcohol and going out and finding where to go and meeting up with people and then meeting people and then going to the after party, like all of that took so much energy. And now that I'm putting that into optimizing my health and helping myself feel like my true fucking self now, I'm just realizing how that I'm reallocating my funds in a sense. And while one version is more socially acceptable, the one who goes out and drinks constantly, neither is the destination. I don't want to be in a perpetual state of healing either. I mean, I even recorded a podcast episode last year on how I was addicted to healing. And now I'm in such a different place with it because things are finally fucking working. So like that helps that obsessive attachment and addiction to the supplements and the doctors and the tests and the different diets and all of these different things go away, because like I'm seeing results. And so I can sleep better at night because I don't have this fear constantly running in my head with every minute taking all of my capacity. And the interesting thing is that there's a thing that both of these versions of me have in common, and that's the hunger for aliveness. And what I've realized is that when I was young and drinking and going all over the place, that helped me feel alive. And now that I am healthy and going to bed and eating well and actually seeing results from the things that I'm doing, I feel more alive than I ever did, because I am like actually cellularly alive. And that's all I've ever wanted on both ends of the spectrum. And I think it's a beautiful thing to hold both, to honor both, and to see that they had something very, very much in common. They were just coming at it from different ways, and these different versions of myself were really going after the same thing ultimately. And what the work actually gave me was the ability to feel alive without manufacturing it with going out and alcohol and meeting people and just always being moving. And the slow Tuesday night is actually better because I don't have this hangover anymore. And I still have a lot of fun. I still laugh until I cry. I still laugh until my abs are sore, but it's just not for the same, the medium that gets me there is different. And the 9 p.m. bedtime is a fucking luxury that I'm not trying to give up. So my body's actually starting to work again. My identity doesn't need to please other people. I'm pleasing myself. And wherever you are in this arc, the party girl, the messy middle, the peptide queen, somewhere else entirely, this episode is not to shame you. It's not to make you think that going out and drinking at all is bad for you. It wasn't working for me anymore, but I still go out with friends and they drink and I don't. And it doesn't matter. It's not a big fucking deal. I have no judgment whatsoever. I'm just sharing what my journey has been because this becoming, this maturation, this authenticity of who I really am can be that crazy party girl, totally sober. Even if I don't microdose psychedelics or have any weed or anything like that, I'm still just like naturally myself right now, which allows me to be high on life, which is like totally what I was always trying to get into. And I am now fully immersed in my afterglow. And this is what I've always wanted without knowing that it was even on the menu. And I didn't know how to get here. And I didn't know it was possible. And I didn't know what I didn't know. And now that I know, I'd be knowing. I'd be knowing that this is the shit. And I just want to illuminate your path with maybe something, because if you are in this place where you're like, this isn't working, but I'm scared of letting it go. And who am I going to be without it? And how are my friendships going to go? Like, just see, just go out one night and don't give in the same way that you usually do and see how it changes you. Because all I've known was to do the same thing that I always did. And when I started doing things differently, that's when things started to change in my mind. And I realized that I didn't always have to do that. So if you're in the in-between right now, not quite who you were, not quite who you're becoming, I want you to know that this disorientation is real. Even if this is the first time that you've really truly thought, maybe alcohol isn't that great for me, and maybe I am keeping myself back in all of these different ways. Maybe there are different ways that I can go out and have fun and not have to wake up feeling like shit the next day, having spent $75 on God knows what, and then getting Taco Bell on the way home. Because there's a version of you on the other side of that who is just waiting, and they're not mad, they're not anxious, they're just like, hey, there's a different way over here. So if you are sober curious, or if you're totally rolling your eyes at me about this right now, just see what's on the other side. And definitely look into peptides because they're the fucking shit. And let me know how this lands for you, because I'm very curious about how sober curious people are. What microdoses are you doing? What psychedelics are you doing? What ways are you still having fun with life that doesn't involve the same old that we all grew up doing? And I want to know. So let me know. And if you're listening to this in real time, it is May 20th. The doors to Afterglow are still open. There's still a few spots left. So if this is interesting to you and you're curious about what's on the other side of your shadow work, I promise you it's the fucking shit. Come and join me. It's 8 weeks of excavation, but also the point is not to stay stuck in shadow work. It is to expand and progress beyond that so that you can see how magnetic you can actually be on the other side of shadow work. So all of that is down below. Thank you so much for being here with me, for listening, for your comments, for sharing your life stories with me in my inbox. I absolutely adore it. And if you love listening, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us reach so many more beautiful souls who are interested in the same magic as we are. So thank you so much. Love, light, and black holes. I will see you next week.